Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. I'm so delighted you've been able to join me today because we have a topic that is applicable to everyone. And what is it? It is about the intuitive process. Boy, I can recall times whenever I would mention the word psychic where people would just, their toes would curl, their eyes would get, woo, big as saucers, and they'd think you were talking about something from outer space. Well, in today's world, it's not that way. Well, it can be, but it's not. Usually people, if you use your words wisely and well, are quite comfortable with the conversation. Before you know it, you've got all kinds of stories going on. My guest today, Penny Pierce, who has written a number of books about intuition, and she's had phenomenal associations with people like Hans Holzer and other individuals that have been recognized for their work in their time. And her book today that we're going to be talking about is Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. And it just flows very nicely with an understanding that we are in this massive shift, this massive change that's occurring at an incredible speed. Penny Pierce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. It's great to be here.
Now, you are an empath, intuitive, whatever term you know you want to use. You have really taken on the challenge of trying to communicate to people what you as a researcher have found. Now, this is different than someone coming out in flowing robes and saying, I'm in the ethereal whatever. I just love the old-fashioned movies, because if you watch any of the old ones that were made years ago, it's like you're out in La La Land somewhere and everybody's airy-fairy. And that is exactly the opposite of where you come from. You approach things in a very down-to-earth, grounded way, which I totally relate to because that's how I am. And I think that there's so much going on in the world today that is supportive of this. And I loved how in your book you bring out a commentary on pay attention to what's going on in the movies, what's being seen on television, what is it that's being put out there that is showing that the paranormal is normal. I like Wolverine. I like the X-Men. I like, I enjoy Marvel comics. Let's face it. I mean, I'm sort of odd. But there's always these underlying themes of powers and abilities and skills, and the story always revolves around, gee, how did you learn to do it? What do you do? Like Spider-Man, how do you take a responsible positioning with it? You made the comment, you said, you think this is all preparation for making something acceptable. And I agree with you. What made you come to that opinion?
Well, you know, I've been working with intuition development for, since 1977, really. And it just seems like it's becoming more and more normal. When we first started, just like you said earlier, you know, you couldn't say the word intuition, really, without people, you know, thinking that you were some wacko. And now it's much more normal. It's very much more connected to creativity and so forth. And so my practice over the years has been to, maybe it's for my own entertainment, I don't know, but I had to look at what's going on in the world and then look under the surface of the physical world into the non-physical world of energy and consciousness and see what's really going on in that world that parallels the external.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would look at the internal world and feel something happening and wait and see what the externalization of that would look like. So I was always like doing this correlation between the inner and outer worlds, which got me, in a way, it's like I taught myself, because I was observing constantly what was going mm-hmm. on, what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I started noticing all of these transformational shifts and the process of transformation. And, you know, to really get at your question, it's that I started noticing that we have all these abilities within us, And that became even more extremely evident when people started getting addicted to cell phones and iPads and, you know, I call it screen addiction now. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
just like
people
cannot seem to get away from that and just be without having to do something constantly on their gadgets.
And, I think this is something that is very interesting to observe, and I think observation is very, very important. And when you have a chance, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I was with a friend, and I'm working on my second children's book, and I have this friend who is an exquisite artist, and of course, it's illustrated, and I had sent her the story in advance, and we're sitting there, and we're communicating, and she said, we need to break down things so we know where to put the illustrations, et cetera, and I said, oh, yes, so let's take it segment by segment. And there was a rhythm that was going on between us. And at one point, because in this one story, there's this crystal case. And she said, how do you see the crystal case? I see it. I see it octagonal. She said, that's unbelievable. Now, she's highly intuitive herself. She said, boy, are we on the same wavelength, because that's exactly what I saw as the artist looking at something. I didn't want to have something normal. We went off on it. And we spent about an hour and a half together. And there was this flow going back and forth. She got the story. She could see what I was seeing. I could understand what she was seeing. And there was this telepathic rhythm. That is how I'll describe it. And when you're in a flow like that, it is absolutely a joyous experience. And you have to be present. She wasn't on a phone. I wasn't on a phone. We were totally engaged in a little coffee shop, sitting at a little square brown table,
yeah.
And this wonderful dance of the mind was going on. And you cover that in the book. You talk about it.
You know, it's a function of attention. And in the book, I'm talking a lot about the fact that I think attention is going to be the most powerful thing to get us into the transformed reality, which I've been calling the intuition age, to discriminate it from the information age, because it's more about spirit than mind. But attention is that ability to place attention. You don't, you know, it's not intention, which is about willpower.
Mm-hmm.
Attention is about presence and being with things with full consciousness and full presence. And when you do that, you find the life in it, or you make a live connection to the world, and you find not only the life in it, but it actually comes alive, and you start to feel yourself there. You find the self in whatever you pay attention to, which causes you to feel unity. It's very powerful.
Absolutely. It really is. And it's something that when you're around children, you watch children when they, and before, you know, they get involved with things. And the kids today, I am just astonished at their communication capacity. When I can be around a two-year-old that has a vocabulary and is communicating with me, I was visiting a neighbor's family, and they had two little girls. And one, I asked her how old she was. She said, I'm one, two. And then the other one said, I'm four. And they held conversations with me. And I've had this experience with children many, many times. And it is something that I just find wonderful, because they are there. They give you 100% of their attention, even though they may only give it to you for a minute and a half. You've got it, and you have to be present with them, because they are absorbing, like little sponges, all kinds of information. And that's what's happening with the adults, but they get so distorted, they don't know how to allow the flow to come in. They are
In my previous book, Frequency, I talked so much about the rising vibration on the planet and how we're becoming energy beings and working with vibration and different frequencies of energy. And I think that, you know, part of it is just we have to maintain that home frequency of our own. It's kind of like the soul in the body vibration, so that we can stabilize.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, their bodies are rising in vibration, and it's very irritating at first. You know, it pushes you beyond your comfort zone. and things don't work the same way they used to work. And in to complicate that, we're covered over, I call it, with wet blankets, you know, of clutter, of shoulds and yes buts and other people's ideas and cultural ideas of what we have to do and all that stuff, you know, that does not allow the energy to flow through. It's kind of just jams it up and dams it up so that we become very overwhelmed, very sense of, you know, hard to function. It's irritated. And so, of course, we want distraction. Mm-hmm. That's the first phase, is like, let me out of here. You know?
Absolutely.
And so we have to learn to understand what's happening energetically and then to actually go with the waves, you know, embrace it, go into it, feel it, take it all on, and let it work with us and kind of, you know, raise us up consciously.
I think a good analogy is that of a surfer. When you're waiting out in the water for the wave to come, you're on the board and you're just paddling and it's totally boring. Well, then the wave starts to build. Then you have to take your positioning on the board and you have to look at it and you have to analyze it. And then when the wave starts to move, you either can go under the wave and crash, or you're going to ride that wave. And lots of times you have to practice at this. Life is not going to necessarily be something that's going to give you a little wave. Sometimes you get a tsunami and you go,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, how am I going to manage this? And I think so many people are going through this right now, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And there comes a point when you're either going to crash and go under the water, or you're going to say, I'm going to ride this somehow. And you may or may not have the board to hold on to. You may just have to go with that flow of movement and trust and just know that you're going to land on the beach. Okay, it's not going to destroy you. And I use that analogy because I think that water has always been something, in my view, that is such a phenomenal substance. It can take a number of forms. It's ice, hailstones, it can be snow, but it's always water. It is in and of itself, but it can change. And dependent on what's going on, dependent on what the temperature is. And I think life is like that. So when I went through your book, I love the different sections that you have in it, and you talk about how, and I'll come back to attention because you brought this up, how you focus your attention shapes the structure of your brain. And you mention a neuropsychologist, Rick Hansen. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that's dealing with this stuff every single day. And he says, when your mind changes, your brain changes, too. How did you get to know Rick?
Well, he lives here in the same county that I do. And, you know, I was just looking at all the people who've been doing this research on neuroscience and neuropsychology. And it's an exciting new field that really does believe that the brain can regenerate itself and it will change just from attention itself. You know, and if you put negative attention on things, it will develop chronic bad habits. And if you put positive attention on it, it will grow. You know, so it's very encouraging
also,
in terms of transformation, the whole idea of it. You know, we used to think that we just lost brain cells after a certain age and there was no hope and we were going to be old doddering fools. But that's not true.
Absolutely not true. Also, you bring out the research, and that's what I like about this, because your book, Leap of Perception, it brings in what I call the very practical side. There are so many people say, well, it's not scientifically proven. Oh, please. It has been proven. They're doing it more and more now. And though research had been done before, it had been suppressed. Now, more and more people are becoming aware of it. Our communication capacity is so much better. But the heart is a brain. Now, we've heard about people saying, coming from your heart, coming from your heart. Why is it that the heart is so important? And we say, well, it's the emotional part of self, and it represents love and all of this. But it's more than that. The human body is an incredible essence, I think. I'm just in awe of it.
Well, the whole
day.
Thing is a brain, really, but the
yes.
they have discovered that the heart actually has neurons in it that are similar to the ones in the brain, and that there's a kind of resonance that goes back and forth between the brain and the heart. So that, you know, it really is a technically a kind of brain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we always think of the heart as being an emotional center. I really don't believe that at all. I think the emotional centers are down below, you know, the second chakra and the belly and those kinds of things, where the heart mm-hmm. is that transition point between emotion and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so my experience of heart is that it is a place of a sort of a neutrality of understanding suddenly the whole concept of unity. When you start to feel connected to someone or unified with the world, compassion is the result. You feel oneness and a kind of kinship connection with all beings. There's no more opposition. And that's the consciousness of the heart. It's not so much emotional, although it may, you know, trigger ecstasy or, you know, very positive emotions when it opens. And it might trigger hopelessness or something when it closes. But basically, it's a powerful place.
It really is. And again, we are, I think, just, I'm in awe. I really am every day because of what I observe. And I think you have to be present to be able to be mindful. You have to be able to stop in a moment, whether you're watching a little gnat that falls or finds your sweatshirt, the place it wants to land, or you're looking at a tree. I think there is that awareness that there is so much more to life, and we're a part of this tremendous expression of same. Now, you go into the intuitive part quite a bit, which I just think is wonderful. And you say intuitive perception is right now. And one of the things that is not taught in our culture very much today is being aware of being at ease, at being in your own skin. And this is something, especially in Western culture, that with all of the distractions, using the word you used earlier, it's so easy to be out there flipping about. So when you are together and when you are aware of yourself and when you're in the harmony, you're present with where you are right now, then there's something that goes on that is just absolutely incredible. You've experienced it. And I've experienced it, and it's a fluidity. Now, you have an exercise in your book where, and you've got a number of them throughout your book, which I think are just wonderful. But this one, you said, what is it that you already know? What is it that you already know? And I thought, this is really a wonderful exercise. And would you go into it? Because I think it's something that my listeners could even start today.
I think what you're referring to is something that I call working with your inner perceiver, which is a function, I think, of our mind. Maybe it's the soul's, you know, intrusion into the mind, but it's the part that helps us notice what we notice. You know, you and I could go down a road and we'd each notice a sequence of different things, and it would make a different meaning for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's very important, I think, in mindfulness practice or by paying attention, that you become aware of what you're noticing and then why you're noticing it. So I started to have a dialogue with this imaginary part of my mind, and I say to myself, why am I noticing this? What is the message I'm trying to get through to myself? You know, and what do I already know about this situation that has come to my attention? Or I've stopped my attention on this situation for a reason, because I want to look at something, or I want to understand something, or I want to make something meaningful to myself. You know, so, and then I get an answer right away. It answers immediately. If you just are quiet, you'll get a sense of what the answer is. And then I made an agreement to trust my inner perceiver and
mm-hmm.
to go with the information I get. But I do that all day long now as a kind of a way of keeping my intuition very open. And it helps you check into the moment. you know, okay, right now, what am I aware of? Or, what, you know, what do I already know about this person that I'm just meeting? Just from my energy, you know, and their energy and how we're connecting. And you'll find that you know a lot, you know, mm-hmm. if you ask, but you have to ask.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about linear reality being like a donut and an empty hole. And
First of all, I think you have to understand that in my book, I'm talking about that the leap of perception is coming because the world is accelerating so much that we can no longer process things in a linear way. And we're having so much information, such a glut of that, that we cannot process bits and bytes anymore. It's too overwhelming. And we're about to leap into a different way of perceiving, which is sort of all at once. It's not linear. And it's quite a shock to the system when you're used to doing one thing at a time and having it make logical sense. So it's really the process of shifting from your left brain, where everything is compartmentalized and defined, you know, and kind of locked down, to the right brain, which has no language, but it has direct immersion into life, into knowledge, into the unified field of energy and consciousness. And in that immersion, the entire thing is available. All the whole imaginal realm is there. Every possible reality is there. Everything's possible. And so the shift of perception is going to be, at first, a leap out of the left brain into the right brain. So linear perception, you know, this is what we think of as normal. This is the way we think reality works, along lines. We have timelines, the shortest distance between two points. We have storylines, plot lines. You know, everything's on lines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we project along those lines. So if you're here in the center point of time and space, the here and now, your mind can very easily project into the so-called future or back into the so-called past, and then you're not in the present moment anymore. Your attention has moved away from center. Or you can project along the space line to other locations and think about where you're going to go on vacation. And then you're not here in this present moment where your body is. And every time the mind does that in a linear reality, you lose touch with your soul and your really highest form of guidance, which comes through the body in the here and now, right on the crosshairs of the here and now, in the present moment. And that then, when you lose touch with that source of guidance, you go into panic and fear, which then brings forth all these behaviors we have about controlling and distracting and dominating and, you know, the things we see so rampant now as the ego seems to be, you know, fighting to stay alive in so many people these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's old perception. And
a lot of that's dying. Yes.
When we project a lot and everything is over there, out there, in another time, in another space, our goals are ahead of us. We don't have what we think we want. You know, it's always somewhere else. Then life becomes kind of like a donut, and we're in the center of that donut hole, and we can't experience ourselves because it's hollow. If you can get that picture, it's like life is always out there surrounding us, kind of like the carrot in front of the donkey. You never can reach it. So where in the crosshairs, which is the center of the donut, nobody's home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you'll feel, people say that, I can't feel myself, I feel hollow, there's a hole in my middle, you know, I don't feel good, I can't, you know, I don't have any self-worth. That's no such thing as lack of self-esteem, really. It's I think, lack of self-experience. You can't connect with the self because you're not in the center.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, which you do bring up in the book, and that is when you awaken to a level of intuitive capability within the self, which belongs to everyone. Everyone has it to one degree or another. So often you want to push and shove and say, well, this is just phenomenal. I really love it, but I want it all the time. And you maybe will see someone in a movie or you will watch a program and you'll say, I want to do what they do. So you sign up for every class that's around and you go and you push, 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 and you do. And you forget that there is a process that needs to be done. And I was on the phone before we went on the air. I was going to share this, and so I'll share it with my listeners. I was on the phone with a wonderfully talented person in the psychic level, and she had a nervous breakdown this past week. And I tried to explain to her, you need to understand something. You are, and I told her this a couple of months ago because I could see this coming. And she is just so stressed out because she's gone through different experiences. She really hasn't taken care of herself. And she's not willing, it's very difficult for her to sort of stay within what I'd call the grounding component of life. She wants everything instantaneously. She's had these profound experiences where she has been used as a channel and all kinds of things, which are wonderful. But I cautioned her. I said, you push this too much, and you are going to become so fragmented that you could end up being considered insane. You need to realize you have to take care of yourself. And when I was talking to her, and this, again, was a few months back when I mentioned mentioned that to her. And then when I was talking with her last night, I became very concerned. I said, you need to just rest. Oh, why do I need to rest? You need to rest because you're working within a harmonic of the physiological self. You must take care of the body. You must take care of yourself. And that's something that you bring out. You bring out the fact that you don't try to move too fast as you're going through this entry into this understanding that this is your rightful heritage. You have to allow yourself to adapt because your nervous system has to go through the adjustment. Your psychological system has to go through adjustment. And it's a process so that when you finally are at home with whatever your talents are, they are going to flow with you. You're not going to feel like you've got an enemy.
No, I agree. I think that the increasing vibration on the planet, like I said before, it's causing our bodies to vibrate faster, our emotions, our mind. And I think if we hold an idea that that we have an outer world that's separate from us, that the physical world is separate, that it's a place of suffering and pain, and that the spiritual world or being out of our body is much better. You know, mm-hmm. And so many people do unconsciously even have this idea that, we don't want to be here. You know, the whole idea, I think, these days for enlightenment is about coming all the way into the body and finding that the physical plane, the body and the physical plane are connected totally. There's no line between us and the world. It's all us. Mm-hmm. And so as you merge with it through attention again, by placing attention on it and coming in all the way and being with it and loving it, you find out that it's just energy and consciousness in a particular frequency, and that frequency can change and shift, and you can create whatever you want or uncreate whatever you want, and it's very free, very responsive, very, very co-creative with you, and that there's nothing to resist. You know, so I think that a lot of people overstimulate themselves with the spiritual visions and a lot of the higher stuff without really understanding that the physical plane itself is a wonderful vision. You know, that you
really
can come
is.
Into it,
mm-hmm.
and
really
work
is.
With it and play with it.
Mm-hmm. And you know? Make a difference when you do that.
Absolutely.
You just have a tremendous impact within the environment that you are a part of. And I think what you said about the self-worth, which many people would say is self-esteem, people would say, I just don't see how I fit. But they really do. And when you can come into that harmonic and you're not at war with whatever the scripts of your life might be at the moment, then you can enter into a level of plasticity where you're able to make shifts. And you've got a wonderful exercise
that is called Imagine a New Invention, and I know we're just about out of time here. Penny Pierce, your book is wonderful. And I really think that there is so much that one can take in bites. And you've got the exercises people can try out. It is something that I feel is safe, it's grounding, it's informative, and at the same time it says, don't be afraid to expand. Don't be afraid to explore. But first, realize that this is part of the adventure of life, and you're living in one of the most exciting times. It's unprecedented where
this
you can
true.
Have a dominion over your
Very
life
true.
That you never, ever would have had in any other preceding times that we are aware of at this time. So, Penny Pierce, I know people can go to your website. It's Penny
yes.
Pierce, PennyPierce.com. You can go in, you can find so many good things on her website that you can peruse through. But this book, Leap of Perception, brings in a whole, what do I want to say? It's a paradigm of observation that will empower you if this is something you want to explore. And I'll tell you what, you are always going to be one of the most interesting factors in life because you are the one living inside your body. So have an adventure. Don't be afraid of finding out about the greatness that's inside of you. And I think Leap of Perception helps to give you some tools to do that. Penny Pierce, I want to thank you for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a moment. Don't forget to check out PennyPierce.com. We're going to be right back.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and I'd be delighted to share my intuitive skills with you, give you some information about yourself, and if you have a question, you're more than welcome to answer. I'll be more than welcome. My mouth is not working very well this morning. I'll be delighted to answer your question at 888-627-6008. That's what happens when your brain is going in 1,001 directions and the mouth is not cooperating very well. Okay, 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you something that I pulled out of my library. And I've had it for years, and it is this calendar that somebody put together. Oh, my goodness. I won't even go back how far it was done. And it was so clever. They put together all kinds of positive little things.
And one of the items that I wanted to share with you today is what they call the secrets of success. Now, success, the word itself, was broken down. So S-U-C-C-E-S-S. This is what they did with the word success. S means a sense of direction, setting a daily goal and a long-range ambition. U is understanding that people are needed to help us reach our goals. C is courage for necessary action. C is compassion for other people. E is esteem, seeing the good in me. S is self-confidence, which comes when we remember our successes. And S is self-acceptance, learning to accept our limitations and willing to develop our abilities. Isn't that delightful? I really think that success is a very personal thing. You'll have someone that you ask, what is success? That's a fun exercise to do, really. What is success? And I can remember someone telling me, when I become 30 years of age and I become a multimillionaire, I said, oh, okay. Someone else said, success is raising wonderful children, happy children, children that are going to contribute and be good citizens in the world. Success to someone else is being able to be an artist, or success to someone else means that they're going to be in the medical field, maybe they open a free clinic, or they're doing something that for them is empowering the human race in some way. What is success to you? What is it? Something I think that we get stuck in is trying to make success into a little box. Success comes in so many different shades and colors, and it's always changing. It's sort of like a hologram. You'll feel very successful when maybe you help someone achieve something that has been literally impossible for them to do on their own. There's that sense of accomplishment and achievement, and that's what success is. So I wanted to share that with you. We've got a caller on the line, so we're going to show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. Don't forget, if you want to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008 is the number to call into. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Hi there, this is Neil.
I'm sorry, dear. Your voice sort of faded away.
I said, this is Mary.
Okay. And where are you calling from?
California.
From California. All right. Now, your voice, if you're on a cell phone, your voice is sort of fading out periodically. So stay in a positioning where you maintain your strong signal. All right. Is it Lynn? I didn't quite hear your name.
Marion.
Oh, Marion, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now you sound nice and clear to me. Okay, Marion, the first thing that I'm looking at is you've got a lot on your plate of life. And I look at this and I want to say, let's streamline it a little bit. If you could, just within, let's say, the rest of this week, take some time and really write out your priorities. And the reason I say write it out on a piece of paper, don't do this on a computer. I want you to be by yourself somewhere. You could be a coffee shop. You could be in your backyard. I don't care where it is. But you need to be by yourself, and you really need to look at what your priorities are. And if you can get yourself a big piece of poster board, tack it up somewhere, and after you make your notes, then write out what are your priorities and keep your focus in the next couple of weeks. You're going to clear up so many loose ends that are dangling. It's going to be amazing to you. You're really going to get a lot done within a relatively short period of time. But what I'm looking at is I feel an exhaustion. Now, it's kind of a physical exhaustion, but more an emotional exhaustion. It's as if you've been depleted. And what I would like you to gift yourself with is the opportunity, either having a regular meditation time or a very special time on a regular basis where it's just you and God, so to speak. Maybe you're having a cup of tea, a piece of chocolate. You're just by yourself, because you have got ahead of you 5 years of tremendous interaction with people, and you must learn to give yourself this gift so that you don't end up becoming frazzled, where you feel like you're spinning your wheels more often than not. I want you to stop having that frazzled, I'm just stuck in place feel. I want you to know that you really are going to get a lot done, but you're so caught up in the wheels of the mind spinning so quickly and trying to be superwoman at times. You need to be okay. You need to come and get grounded. Not unlike what I was discussing with the guest earlier. Now, you're going to find that there is a grouping of people, about five people, that are going to be phasing out of your life. And that is going to cause a bit of a disruption with you because it is a very strong part of your persona. You're very loyal. You are someone that doesn't like a lot of dramatic change. Now, there's not a lot of dramatic change that's occurring with this, but this phasing out means that you're going to be incorporating into your environment new people. And there's going to be almost like a push. It's like I'm seeing a hand behind you, pushing you forward, saying you've got to get out of your comfort zone. It's time for you to grow. And if you remember when you were going from junior high to high school, or from high school into college, there was always an adjustment, or you're going out into the new working world. There was an adjustment. You had to be pushed. You weren't necessarily doing it voluntarily. But there was this sense, I'm going to have to do it whether I like it or not. And this is what is evolving around you right now. And it's very confusing because you don't quite understand why this is happening with you. But it is time for you to grow again. So being attentive and giving yourself quiet time, taking the time to really be with yourself, be yourself, and not necessarily a to-do list. I'd call it a priority list, although it's a form of a to-do list, but it's different. You need to be able to keep your focus on what has to be dealt with, and I'm seeing this stress regarding money. And I can totally empathize with you, but right now, you deal with what's going on right now, today. And that's why physically writing down the priorities, writing down your anxiousness, gives you a strength and, believe it or not, a clarity that is going to allow you to get through the next 2 to 3 months in an amazing way. Don't be afraid of what appears to be hurdles in front of you. Because I'm seeing you figuring out, if you don't want to jump over the silly thing, you're going to figure out how you can move around it. But you're stymied because you think there's only one way to do something. And I want to say, no, you're not in a race here. You're not in a race. This is your journey. So if you want to bypass or go around the hurdle, you need to recognize it. But you need to know there's more than one way to keep on moving. And that is something that you're learning at this time. What is your question that you have for me today?
Wow, that was a lot. But I think part of what you might be picking on is a breakup. Someone did phase out of my life very fast, and it had taken me out of my comfort zone. And the depletion and exhaustion that you're sensing is emotional. It's been 4 months, and I'm still just trying to put the pieces together.
But it's good you're going through it. So don't run from the emotion. Look at it. And allow the feelings to be there, because this is where you're suddenly, that's why you need your time to yourself. You don't really need other people's opinions. You already know the truth. And it's accepting the truth, seeing it for what it is, and going, all right, I don't like it, it hurts, but it's time for me to move forward. And this is what you're going through right now.
Well, my question would be then, am I accurate about my assessment or my whatever conclusion I've come up with in regards to this man that I broke up with?
No, not 100%. No, because your emotions are still coloring it. What I'm seeing is a great big crayon with the word emotion, fantasy. It's like there's another crayon that's coming into my mind. It's like it's got the word blame on it. And I want to say, no. Look at it as if you will. This is a script. This is a drama that you have played out. The reason that this person had to go in a different direction, and they had to do it, is because they could see the change in you, and that change was not going to be occurring in them. And they didn't have the maturity nor were they supposed to. This person was in your space so that you can come into a whole new level.
And
the two of you were
that.
Teachers to each other.
Yeah.
Does that
but
make sense to you?
Up. It does. But he's not jumping up that level. Like, he's staying. Like,
and
I
that's okay.
That. Yeah.
That's okay. There's no judgment here. It's time for you to move in your direction. He's responsible for his space. You have to be responsible for yours.
Yes, definitely.
And I want to thank you for your call, dear. I have to go on break.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're
that.
More than welcome. I'm so delighted you were able to join us today. And be sure and tell your friends about the show. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com
or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is The Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. And as a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or squatsponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or squatsponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or squatsponge.com for more information.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny, I want to tell you about our guest tomorrow, and this is Mr. W.L. Lenny. Now, let me tell you something about this man. He is a mature gentleman. He is in his 60s, and when I got his material on the Phoenix Success Strategy, I was amazed, and I'll tell you why. This is a man that had been successful. He had all kinds of good things. He's in his 60s. Most of us would look at someone like him and go, oh, my goodness, I wish I could be like you because he's financially set. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything is lost. I mean, everything. Income, you name it. All of what seemingly had been worked on and prepared and polished and everything else, it was gone. But a pair of scissors, one pair of scissors, turned his life around. And you're going to hear that story tomorrow. And it is really a powerful one. So tell your friends and join me, won't you? Because I'm just delighted to share these wonderful people and their stories with you. Because I think it's important for us to realize, yes, we have a lot of ugly stuff, a lot of crummy crap going on in the world. But I'll tell you what, we've got more people on this planet that are doing good things. You're not hearing any bugles blowing for them, but they're out there day in and day out. They are there living the life, and they are wanting to make this world a better place. And I have the good fortune of bringing them to you through VBS, and that is a joy to me. I wanted to share with you that there is a program that I happen to see on Benjamin Franklin. I go to the library, and I pick up their videos, and I love perusing through the hundreds, literally thousands, of videos and audios and all kinds of things that they have. Well, I was just impressed to pick up this PBS, special that was done on Benjamin Franklin. I was amazed at how well done it was. And Benjamin Franklin, for so many of us, is really an inspiration because this man just accomplished so many things in his lifetime, and they did a very good job of presenting him as a man in a time frame of early American history that, well, it's just amazing what he was able to do. But what was the foundation for Benjamin Franklin was the learning of the printing trade. And he was the founder of a publication called the Pennsylvania Gazette. Now, Benjamin Franklin had been indoctrinated with certain attitudes and certain dogmas. At a very young age, he disassociated from a lot of them. He was so bright and was questioning. One of his biggest challenges was finding individuals that could even engage in conversation in an intelligent level. No one in his family had the capability that he came in with, that he was born with, to see things in the bigger picture, to be willing to explore. He was a phenomenal investigator of life. Well, he really championed freedom of the press and an unbiased, free press. And that's something that is very precious in these United States. And he also had the attitude, which is very rare, even in today's world, that no matter what a person's point of view is, you may feel it's totally wrong, they still have the right to be heard, the right of free speech. He used the word discourse. Now, in 1731, May 27th, in his newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, this is what he said. Printers are educated in the belief that when men differ in opinion, both sides ought equally to have the advantage of being heard by the public, and that when truth and error have fair play, the former is always an overmatch for the latter. Let me repeat that. When truth and error have fair play, the former is always an overmatch for the latter. It is so important that we understand that diversity empowers us and do not get stuck in dogmas of it's either black or it's white. It is very important that we have the truth. And right now in the United States, this is something that is really up on the platform for observation. And I think that one of the gifts that we have is that the station like BBS and many, many others who are being able to broadcast because of the internet and other modalities that allow us to communicate, though there may be programs we say, oh, I wish they didn't have it on the air, we need to take an attitude of be glad that we're able to make a choice instead of having people dictate to us what we should say, what we should think. I'll tell you, I know that I, as a woman, as an individual, probably in a lot of different countries in this world, would have been shot. Or, you know, some other ugly situation. Remember, it is good, even if someone doesn't agree with you, to be a good listener, but also to learn how to think for yourself. And that process is not an easy process. I had to learn how to do it, and I'm still learning how to do it. So many times we want comfort, we want ease, we don't want to think. But remember, that is your right. That is what you need to do. And the only way you're going to be able to do that and have a rich life is by perhaps challenging sometimes your own systems of attitudes and beliefs. It's not good. It's not bad. It's healthy. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so delightful you've had this time with me. Won't you join me tomorrow and learn about a person who overcame obstacles that, wow, would I have thought of his resolution? No, not me. But he did, and he's going to be talking about it. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul, your mind, your being. Be present with who you are. I think you're pretty special. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.